opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heyo, rolling back here into hour four of Sports Talk. Jeff Nowak, Cohen Steele, taking you up till 8 p.m. here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Give it a download. It's a good time. We're going to be getting into a lot of LSU baseball talk, but we're going to be talking less about Arkansas and more about Coastal Carolina. We're going to bring on Stephen Bidek, sports correspondent for the Omaha World Herald. He's out there stringing. If you don't know reporter terms, that means he is covering Coastal Carolina for the Sun News in Myrtle Beach. We've been getting a close-up look at what's been going on with the Chanticleers.
Love that name.
Cohen, do you know what a Chanticleer is?
I know. I looked it up last night. I looked it up because I was curious. And it's like a rooster.
It's a fighting chicken.
It's a rooster.
It's a fighting chicken. Yeah, it's kind of like a gamecock.
Well, what's
South Carolina Gamecocks, the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, but it is based on Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales.
It's like a folklorish.
Yes, kind of like a mythical
chicken.
Fighting chicken. Yeah.
But like
their nickname is the Chants. It's spelled like Chants, Chants, but it says go Chants.
When I did the flash earlier and I was typing up my script for it and around like 2-3 in the afternoon, I made a very obvious note of how, in parentheses next to it, like how it's pronounced.
Chanticleers.
It's a fun word to say.
Their chant is chants, and that's spelled the same. Anyway, so we're going to be talking a lot about that, but first, I do want to get into a bunch of LSU audio from their post-game press conferences late last night. It was a late finish. It was a fast-moving game until it wasn't, and then it was the longest game on the planet, but hey, it was worth watching. Let's hear what Jay Johnson had to say in his opening statement after the 6-5 win walk-off in the bottom of the ninth over Arkansas to move on to the title series against those Chanticleers.
First off, I want to congratulate Arkansas, Coach Van Horn, the staff, coming here 4 years ago from the West. I just felt like that's the program we always have to catch. And it's just the consistency of talent, fundamentals, competitiveness. They have it all. And so, I just have so much respect for them that this actually means a little bit more, to be honest with you, with the respect for the opponent. But tonight, I said this literally probably 2 years ago to the day, the walk-off homer, Tommy against Wake Forest, like I felt something in my body I've never felt before, and greatest moment of my life, and it now has a tied for first with the ninth inning with Jared Jones line drive over the second baseman's head, Luis Hernandez hustling around second base. I didn't know you could run like that.
Good little wheels.
I would coach this team forever. I've been telling them that probably since March or April, and it's because of the character. And you look at this, and Jared came back with a sole intent of doing what we're doing right now and him being at the front of that, not just as a player that's driving in runs, but as a leader. He's been tremendous in that regard, set the way for the team. We had zero innings returning behind the plate this year, and somehow God blessed us with Luis Hernandez. And we needed character at that position. And he's a great baseball player. He's a better human being. And then, you know, things are funny how they work out in your life, that we're supposed to play Wofford in the first game of the NCAA tournament. And I spent 5 days preparing for Zach Cowan, and thank God they didn't throw him because he threw like 800 pitches in the conference tournament. But what a performance. What a season. First team All-SEC performer, and delivered, you know, on the biggest stage in college baseball tonight against, you know, one of the three best teams. And I think it's pretty cool that rarely does it work out like this. While that game was going on tonight, the three best teams in college baseball were still alive, and just excited to prepare for a couple more days, enjoy being together, and go compete for a championship, because I get to coach guys like this, and they're all across the team. But we're not here without you three, so thank you for everything you've done, and let's get after it.
That was Jay Johnson talking to the media after last night's wild 6-5 win over Arkansas. You know, the best part about those, the NCAA tournament press conferences, College World Series press conferences, is you send the coach up there with like two players around him, and you get kind of these funny interjections. It reminds me of, you know, the one that I always think of is when Todd Peterson confessed to Paul Mainieri that he like tricked him into letting him hit because he hit nukes in high school.
You used to hit in high school? No.
Yeah, I did not. But like, you get moments like that. That was the SEC tournament, but same concept. So you could hear Jared Jones like chiming in off to the side, which is, it's always funny to me. But yeah, you could hear it in Jay Johnson's voice. Like, his heart rate was not down. Like that type of game, that it gets you all, like, you're not normal for a while after that type of game.
There's a decision he talks about later in the presser. We'll get to it after we take our break and hit our man on the other side, so to speak, with Steven.
Sure.
But he mentions, he was asked late in the presser about the value in winning that game. And he talked about the decision-making that went into it. And he kind of, I don't want to spoil it, but he kind of was like, the second we tied it and kind of took the lead, because it was what? It was like 1-0.
They were up 2-1.
2-1. Yeah. When he came back, how many numbers went through my head last night?
They were down 1-0. They took a 2-1 lead. They tied it. Then Arkansas came back, took a 3-2 lead.
Mm-hmm.
LSU tied it at 3.
Yep.
Then 5-3. Arkansas went up 5-3, and then LSU scored 3 in the bottom.
I know that I was texting Steve and my dad. He was out watching the game, and I was texting Charlie a little bit about how, you know, it Doug, too, from All Things Illegal, big LSU fan. We were talking about, like, at what point does Ianson come in? Everyone was kind of under the assumption that Ianson was going to come in. I kind of was. I was sold.
If it went
that,
to extras, maybe.
I was 100%. If you head into the, if you didn't have those two runs hit in the top of the ninth, if you head into like the bottom of the ninth tied, or, you know, if you win, you win. You know, if you're up by one, up by two, right, you win instantly. But I thought if you were tied or leading heading into the top of the ninth, you throw them out there.
Yeah.
Just throw them out there.
To close the game. Yeah, and I think you would have thrown him out there in extras because you're the home team, so keeping it even means you get one swing of the bat to potentially win it. And Jared Jones, who they decided to pitch to, you know, they didn't throw him any strikes, but they still, well, they weren't trying to throw him any strikes. They did ultimately throw him a strike. Let's hear Jared Jones take us through his walk-off, his home run first, and then his walk-off hit.
You know, I hadn't been seeing Geico very well this week. He struck me out like 5 times, I think, in 5 at-bats. And it was all on sliders. And my approach is always to be on time for a fastball. And I was lucky enough to get one in the zone and put a good swing on it to tie the game. And then there in the ninth, they brought in Jimenez. And he's a great pitcher. Got to respect his slider. And was able to just kind of stay on it and do just enough to get it over the second baseman's head. That's about it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, after when he hit that home run, it was like he hadn't touched a ball all night. He was striking out left and right, and he just ambushed a pitch. And it was right after the failed double play that Arkansas was able to score 2 runs on.
Yeah.
Right? Because it bounced away from him. It was close. The guy might have been safe. The runner might have been safe. But if he catches that ball, it's only 1 run instead of 2. So, I mean, that was a pretty big blunder by him, and he made up for it immediately, like in the next inning, which, you know, that's, it just takes a special type of player to do that. Let's hear what Jared had to say on the LSU kind of being backed into a corner there late in the game.
Just kind of been here before, you know. We've had a lot of these games throughout the season of whether we've had to fight back from being down or, team ties it up late. And we've just kind of stuck with it no matter what. There's no clock in baseball. There's 27 outs. And with our offense, it's a tough ask to do. And I'm happy Luis got the job done, and then I'm happy I was able to drive him in.
Yeah, one thing that's been a defining theme of the Jay Johnson era of LSU baseball is I don't care what kind of lead the other team has, you never feel like it's over, right? Like there's always that feeling that they're going to make a rally.
It's like the Chiefs almost.
Yes.
Like that you can't ever, not until you're down, by 30.
You got to put them down.
You have to put them down.
They're not going to lay down. You got to put them down. And that game was a perfect example of that.
I will say, I don't remember every single game of the 2023 season, but we didn't have nearly as many walk-offs. We've had impactful
walk-offs.
Yeah,
but they had the ultimate walk-off.
I say, we've had impactful walk-offs.
Like they had the Tommy White home run walk-off, which was like the best walk-off you'll ever see.
You've had walk-offs that are in the same level of importance and value, if not more, but we've had more. Jones talking here about how we've kind of built for this. The 2023 team looked better. We talked about it earlier. They are better. If these teams were to literally, without duplicates, play each other, I think the 2023 team...
Oh, no question. I mean,
they would win.
Paul Skeens is one of the best pitchers. He's a Hall of Famer.
They would win. Undoubtedly.
Dylan Cruz, they go at 1-2 in the draft. Now, they had to play through a bracket that was much more difficult than this one. I mean, Wake Forest was the number one team in the country, and they played like it, right? They were loaded on that Wake Forest team. Like, Arkansas was good. They are not anywhere near where that Wake Forest team was. Like, I would argue that the two teams in that bracket there were better than any of these teams in here, but it doesn't matter. You only got to play the teams in front of you, and LSU was the best team out in their side of the bracket in Omaha.
I would make the case again, just kind of bringing it home. 2023 team definitely had more talent. This team has more heart. I'm being sentimental. I'm leaning in. Yeah, how can you not be romantic about baseball?
Little cheesy, but I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. You've been here for a while now, and there's been a lot of baseball played. You run out of things to say. You got to go with the cliches after a while.
You got it. You would be lying to yourself if you said that this team doesn't have less heart than the 20. They have to.
Yeah.
The amount of turmoil, the amount of dramatics you've seen in this year, it hasn't been nearly as dominant.
Their best player is this tiny little guy who makes all the plays at shortstop look so easy.
And they drag these games out.
He makes so many plays, Stephen Milam, that are incredibly difficult, and you never even have a question.
Yeah.
He's getting there. He's got range.
No
he's
doubts.
Got an arm, and he's on point all the time. Although he did hit into what should have been a game-ending double play, and Arkansas just let him off the hook. They let him off the hook.
They blundered so bad. I remember writing.
They are who we thought they were.
I wrote earlier: mental errors and physical blunders.
Yes, yes.
There's no
exactly
other way to put it.
That's exactly what happened. But all right, I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Colin Steele. We're taking you up till 8 p.m. on Sports Talk. We're gonna hit the break and come back with Stephen Bidek, who's out in Omaha covering the Chanticleers, Coastal Carolina. We'll get the lowdown on what the Tigers should expect in that game one of the title series on Saturday. Keep it locked on WWE.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation, You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, rolling back in here on Sports Talk. Jeff Nowak, Cullen Steele, taking you up till 8 p.m. on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. We're still getting ready. LSU, Coastal Carolina, it's a rematch. LSU fans remember Coastal well. They don't remember, you know, all the players are different, but the memories are still there. That game, those two games were in Baton Rouge. Coastal swept them. At the box, definitely. I know Kramer Robertson still remembers it. He's still tweeting about it. But we're going to go to the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're going to bring on Stephen Bidek, sports correspondent for the Omaha World Herald. But he's out there stringing for the Sun News in Myrtle Beach, covering Coastal Carolina in Omaha. How you doing, Stephen? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You know, it's funny because I used to work at the Sun News, and I went to go see, like, oh, who do they have covering the College World Series? And I was like, oh, he's already out there. He's in Omaha.
It's convenient. I've been going since, gosh, I don't even want to tell how old I am, but I said when Dave Winfield was playing for the Minnesota Gophers.
Wow.
So, yeah, back in the 70s at Old Rosenblatt. But, yeah, it's – Coastal has looked very impressive. As you know, I know that's not any news flash, but wow, they are really focused too.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you know we're watching LSU and we're watching this kind of, you know, instant classic back and forth walk off wins and the, you know, two runs in the top of the ninth, three runs in the bottom of the ninth, and then you look over at Coastal and it's like, we'll just drop six in the first inning, take Louisville down without issue, just calmly win our 26th consecutive game. It's fascinating to kind of watch how different both of these kind of runs have gone. But you know, what is the identity of this Coastal Carolina team? Because obviously the 26 game win streak is remarkable in and of itself, but that doesn't happen by accident.
Right. They've been building it up for a couple of years to get that. They have the deepest bullpen, I think, but they haven't had to use it a whole lot. Great starters, you know, one All-American, and you know, Riley Eichhoff has started two games already out here, and they've only played three. So when you're able to do that and you've got some time for rest, especially in this tournament, you keep winning, you're going to be fresh every game. So that's another reason that this final is going to be final series is going to be really good, because both teams get those 2 days off. Nobody had to play tonight to get to the finals. So and they've been hitting the poo out of the ball. I mean, and the other, there's one other thing that makes them really unique. They call them, I think if they use the term freebies or free bases, how many times they've been hit by pitch. They just set the NCAA record last night for a season. It is now 176 hit batsmen this year. And I think their staff has given up 80, that's plus 96 base runners. That has been the thing. They, in that six run first inning, they had a single, and then the next two guys were hit by pitch. Wow. And that's how they got the bases loaded. And then they took advantage of it. A lot of teams don't do that. And you get them on, then you leave them stranded. Not Coastal.
Yeah, I mean, they've played 67 games this year, so they're averaging 2.5 hit batters per game. That is pretty remarkable. Yep. And hey, you know, Jay Johnson will be the first to tell you, like, we like to hang out over the plate too. That's something that LSU does really well, is, you know, they're not leaning into it, but they're also not necessarily trying to get out of the way. And I think that's something in college, you know, you've seen teams like, okay, how do you gain an advantage? And that's not, you know, that doesn't happen by accident either. Like, that's an intentional plan per se. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's coached. I mean, any way to get on base, that's what they'll take. I mean, they want to get base runners. They want to get on people early. And coach talked about, you know, getting those, but they went three innings after that without scoring, and then they finally got that seventh run, and you know, they scored, you know, five runs in the last four innings. But yeah, they're not getting out of the way. The second game, it was against, I think it was against Oregon State, where they were called out for, or somebody was called out. They said he leaned into the pitch. It sure didn't look like it on the replay, but, you know, I don't wear blue and black and have a mask on my face during these games. So they didn't have that happen very often during the regular season, where the umpires would say, "Mop, you were leaning into it," and then it happens twice in one inning. So they've got it figured out, and I think we'll see a few more of those, like you said, from both teams when we get started on Saturday with the finals.
Yeah, so speaking of Saturday, you know, I haven't seen if it's been announced yet. I assume it's got to be Jacob Morrison starting for the Shants, correct?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I think there was a little bit of surprise that Eichhoff started the first game, but he didn't pitch at the regional. He didn't, or super regional. He didn't have to. So they, I think, were kind of staying in order with the rotation there, and he did a nice job. But after, you know, he gave up, Morrison, that is, gave up a solo home run. It was, I think, the number nine hole hitter. No, it was the leadoff guy. Then the next two batters, the last two outs, were on the warning track. So they were tagging him there. But after that, he got 16 consecutive outs. And then he tried to stay in a little bit longer, but then I think it was a double and two singles, and it was time to call it a game. But when you have an All-American like that, and he's, what day was it? That would have been Monday. So he's coming in on full rest, I would assume, tomorrow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think. So the last time Coastal was at the College World Series, they also were leaning on a Morrison. I think it was Mike Morrison. He was the closer. They're not related. I'm assuming they're not related.
Not that I know of. You know, and I went back and looked in my archives for. I covered one for the where I covered their win over TCU in 2016, and that's where they had to go an extra game to get into the finals, and they had beat Texas Tech 7-5. So they're kind of doing it. The teams. There really isn't. You know. Coach Schnell was on staff then, I think, and you know, Coach Gilmore, of course, the head coach. This is more of a gritty group, and I think they were. He said a little more big hitters, maybe a little more polished back in 2016. But boy, when you've got four guys with season batting averages over 300, they're doing something right. Even in that ballpark where you can get lost in the outfield, as LSU people know how deep that park is. You guys have been there so many times. It's yeah, Gomaha, they're calling it now. I saw on a billboard today. So they always seem to come up with a new nickname when they get here.
I mean, people down here refer to it as home away from home. But Stephen, I wanted to ask you, have you been covering Coastal Carolina since just when they entered Omaha, or the whole tournament so far?
Just when they got into Omaha, you know, I'd kind of kept an eye on different things. Earlier this year, I was out in South Carolina for a little bit. I got to a Gamecocks game, but I didn't get over to Conway. But, just picking it up these last three games, and, boy, it's easy to see. And we also, I don't know if you guys have talked about this or laughed about this, but after the second game, when the press conference started, the moderator had the gall to mispronounce Chanticleers.
Oh, no.
He was, and Coach, if you can find that, it's us at the very start of that. It's Chanticleers. I don't know how many times I have to say. He was like, dude, be happy. You just won. You know, you can correct him, but it was a scolding. So,
and it's not like Chanticleers. Like, I know how to say Chanticleers. I lived there, but I don't expect people down here to say it right.
Yeah, and up here too, we don't have a lot of them running around. We have chickens, but
they don't fight each other. You know, they get eggs.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So I was bringing up the your coverage of them because I wanted to kind of get a gauge of like when you started covering them, for the most part, because even though LSU came from the winner's bracket, for the most part, they both teams have played the same amount of games in Omaha. But the biggest question at that point, though, is from our eyes, we've kind of been keeping track of the bigger picture since the LSU Tigers have a tendency to make a bit of a run here. It seems like your side of the bracket, that side of the bracket for the Chanticleers, hasn't nearly been as dramatic, but a better word, has it been as difficult? Has it been easier? What's your take on it?
I don't know that it's been easier because the first game, you know, Arizona was the first team knocked out, but they needed Coastal needed three runs in the bottom of the eighth to break a 4-4 tie. That was, you know, going into the eighth inning, that was 4-4, and, you know, it was anybody's ball game at that point, but they came up big. They did get to play all three. They beat all three teams in their bracket. It just kind of worked out that way. I don't know that it was easier, you know, for LSU getting to play. I think they played Arkansas during the regular season, right?
Yes, yeah.
Everybody? Okay.
It was a very historic three-game battle with them, a tremendous effort from the Tigers. It was one of those walk-off wins.
Yeah, you know, I know I'm talking to a Tiger audience here, but people really feel for Arkansas, I think, a little bit, especially in Omaha, because, you know, Coach Van Horn took the Huskers to a couple of College World Series before, you know, heading back to his alma mater. So it's just like, are they ever going? It's sort of like Mark Martin was at Florida State, just couldn't quite get there enough. And, you know, I think they've had, they didn't have to play Murray State, I think. LSU didn't have to play them. But when you get no hit by Arkansas, I mean, they were the Cinderella, but I think that kind of got to them. So I think there was a good balance in the brackets there.
Yeah, you know, and just kind of the larger picture, you know, obviously this isn't the first time LSU has been up there. Fans like to go up there and take residence. I think anytime LSU makes it to the College World Series, it's like we're booking the whole trip. We're not going for a weekend and seeing what happens. But what has the vibe been like this year? Obviously, there's the gigantic mic to the Tiger rolling around. Everyone's drinking all the Jell-O shots. But what has been kind of your read on the vibes out at the, which my favorite nickname for any baseball stadium, the Chuck.
Okay, I hadn't heard that one since Charlie Schwab's place was just, you know, just got the new name from TD Ameritrade a couple of years ago. But it's been pretty similar. It's sort of turning into family reunions a little bit, because I think there's a lot of people from your state and this state up here exchanging Christmas cards, sending birthday wishes. I think there's been, you know, you see it all over the place. And where the media gets to park is a general parking lot where most of the tailgating takes place, and you see a lot of purple and gold, and there are plenty of red shirts with a white N and an Adidas logo on them at some of those tailgates. So it's been pretty similar to past years, although I think with this one, it'll be interesting. I think Coastal, even though they've dominated like this and they've only, you know, had been 9 years since they've been here, is still viewed as a bit of an underdog. And there will be some in Omaha who will pick up that vibe, especially if they can jump on them, you know, early like they have.
Yeah, and I guess my last question is, what is your kind of prediction? You've watched a lot of these tournaments. You've watched a lot of these College World Series games. What is your kind of read on this series? Do you expect it to be a sweep? Do you expect it to go three games? Who do you expect to come out on top?
If Coastal plays like they did, especially the last two games, they would sweep. But I don't think it's going – well, I don't know. If I have to say, I don't think it'll be a sweep. I think Coastal will win, too, and there's a little pride with that winning streak and maybe end the year with that like that. One thing that I would, you know, real quick that I would change, you know, I don't know that Arkansas and LSU should have been paired against each other. I would like to see them reseed when you get that done, instead of being assigned to that region, I mean, you had two top six teams, right? Three versus six.
Yep.
Overall seeds, I'd break them up and I'd redo the pairings. But that being said, I will never ever count LSU. I was there for the Warren Morris home run in 1996. They've been, I don't want to say if they feel a little charmed, but I think it's LSU mojo, you know, that's got them through, you know, especially the last couple games. It wouldn't surprise if LSU wins it, it'd be a three gamer, because I don't think Coastal's going to lose twice or
two in a row.
I mean, because so, but I'm, you know, just from what I've seen from both of them, I'd be surprised unless Coastal has a total meltdown if they don't come out with their second national title.
Gotcha. Thanks so much, Stephen Bidek, sports correspondent for the Omaha World Herald. Appreciate you taking the time, man.
My pleasure. Enjoy the weather.
Yes, sir. You have a good one. All right. We are getting ready. Coastal Carolina, LSU on Saturday. First pitch is going to be at 6 p.m. Coverage starts at 5:30. You can catch every pitch, every out, every home run, every mistaken out at third, whatever you want to call it, here on the Big 870 WWL. It's going to be the Jay Johnson Revenge Tour. At least that's what I'm going to call it. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Colin Steele. Keep it locked on W.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I steal the line from the movie Hoosiers, where the coach talks about you don't look at the next step until you've climbed the one in front of you. And I think that that's really important in tournament play. Once we took the lead, I started managing in a way of like, let's get this game done tonight and put ourselves in the best position possible to be successful this weekend. And it's a huge deal not to have to play tomorrow night. There is nobody happier in the city of Omaha that there will not be a game here tomorrow than Jay Johnson right now.
All right, coming back in, closing out the show here on Sports Talk, Jeff Nowak, Colin Steele. And yeah, I mean, up until the two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, there was going to be a Thursday game at the Chuck.
Yeah.
And then that changed, right? Like, it's such a jarring thing. Like, the other sports don't behave like that. That's one of the things that makes college baseball so unique is the double elimination format. Because, like, if LSU loses that game, suddenly all of the pressure is on them. And obviously they had Cade Anderson in their back pocket, but you don't want to have to burn Cade Anderson in that game, because then you're in Coastal Carolina is honestly probably, I wouldn't say they're more bummed out than Arkansas, but they're not happy about that. They wanted to avoid Cade Anderson, and instead we're going to get full power LSU versus full power Coastal, which I think is cool. Like, you should want this. This is what the championship is supposed to be. It shouldn't be about, this team has no bullpen and they're not going to have a chance to throw this guy because he had to pitch on Thursday. You might get him in a game three if you get there. No, it's best versus best, and that's all you can ask for as a college baseball fan.
Well, Jay Johnson later spoke in the press conference about, like, you know, how it means and what it feels for him to be back in the College World Series finals.
I literally am at a loss for words, and there's so many thoughts, and literally it's like, it's about getting to the ultimate where we're at, and I'm so proud of them for that, but it's literally about getting five more days with them, and this is a model team, and there haven't been much of this. I mean, it's been a consistent effort from whatever August 24 first team meeting through the ninth inning tonight. And I mean, think about the walk-off wins we had at home against these guys, against Tennessee, and they just stay with it. The mental toughness is really like nothing I've ever seen before. And the investment in the team. I mean, we got guys that are going to go to pro baseball, but it's all about this. I mean, it's not just a saying. Like, at LSU baseball, the expectation of the player is I will always place the needs of the team above my own. And we have so many examples of that. And I'm just really thankful. I mean, if you ask me if I had a word or an emotion, it's just really thankful.
Yeah, you know, I agree with Jay there. There's two things that this LSU team does better than any LSU team I have seen. And one of those things is defend. This defense is elite.
Unbelievably good.
At every position. And it really stands out when you watch what happened to Arkansas, which is a pretty good defensive team, but just punt, you know, punting, booting balls everywhere in the biggest moments. And then also just never quitting, like never giving up. Like they could have easily said, we'll get them tomorrow. No. Down two runs, bottom of the ninth inning, two outs, you get it done.
You hear Jay in that first clip that we hit opened in this segment where he was like, yeah, the second we had the lead 2-1, I made the decision that this game is ending tonight.
Yeah,
and he was going to do whatever he could to make that happen. He did what he needed to do. He moved the board around, you know, chess-wise. But at the end of the day, Jared Jones, Luis Hernandez, like, the heart that this team has is what pushed you guys over the edge.
I think he was holding back the pitching staff a little bit. I think,
again, you could have opened
leaving Chase Shores in there for that extra inning felt like we don't want to burn another pitcher today.
You could have put Ianson in.
Yes.
But you're in an unbelievably good position having not done it.
It worked out for him, so no one's going to question it.
Run the risk and you win.
Jeff Nowak, Cullen Steele, one more break. We're going to come close it out here on Sports Talk. This is WWL. All right, closing things out here on Sports Talk. Jeff Nowak, Cullen Steele. We're going to go quick to the Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line. Jimmy from Gretna hanging on the line. How you doing, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Look, it's going to be great. Sunbelt, you know, Charles and myself, we're Sunbelt all the way, UL and Southern Miss, but Coastal Carolina, they give hope to the underdogs, and it keeps the parity alive in college baseball. But I do want LSU to win, so go Tigers. Eat up them Jello shots. Hey, look, tomorrow night, I know a lot of people are going to scrap in the coast, but in Biloxi tomorrow night, the Shuckers are playing, and they're having the Saints Legends game. And the Saints Legends, they got like 20 former players there, Garrett Hartley, Tyrone Hughes, Tracy Porter. It's a great event if you haven't been to it. If you love the Saints and, you know, go Tigers, go Saints. I just want to throw that out there if somebody's looking for something to do Saints related.
No doubt. Yeah. And, you know, Saints Legends always at a baseball game. Yeah. You can't complain about it. But no, I agree. Like, Coastal, you know, one of the great things about college baseball, and I know Jimmy appreciates this, is small schools can win.
Yeah.
Right. It's like college football is fantastic and the environment and the fan bases and everything that goes into it. But at the end of the day, if you're not in the SEC or the Big Ten, you're barely thought of.
I mean, what was the NCAA, you know, baby, the fan favorite this year?
Oh, I don't know.
Murray State.
Oh, no. Well, sure.
They were small as hell.
Sure, but I didn't think they had a chance to win, but, you know.
They made it, though.
They did make it. You can't take that away from them. But, like, yeah, and then in the new college football format with the 12 teams, you'll see small schools get in there. You know, you'll see BYUs, and you'll see some of these programs that wouldn't have been traditionally thought of as having a chance, and now they have a chance. They're never going to win. You're not going to see them win. You're not going to see a 12 seed win the college football playoffs. It's just not going to happen. The competition level is too far apart. In college baseball, that's not the case. Coastal Carolina can go out there and beat LSU. I'm not going to say they will, but I am going to say they can because I've watched Coastal Carolina do it before.
They've come this far.
Not this team, but I have watched them do it before, and I've watched them beat Jay Johnson in the title series. So I'm not gonna count them out. But all right, I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Cullen Steele. Thanks everyone for hanging out talking baseball. This is WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.